All right, tonight we are going to take a look at the final piece of the armor of God. We've been studying it through the summer, Ephesians chapter 6. And tonight's piece is the sword of the Spirit. And I guess if you had all the rest of the armor on and listed, without the sword, eventually the enemy would catch up with you and destroy you anyway. Because it all has to fit together.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I believe the sword's last on the list. I don't believe anything in God's word is by accident or without a purpose. So if you will turn to Ephesians 6, verse 10, we're going to read the verses. Turn there and stand, please. Ephesians 6, verse 10. I'm going to read through verse 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we have this sword of the Spirit that you've given us as an instruction book, as a guide, as a thing that we can study and apply to our lives and apply to our hearts, that we might be the Christians to be these servants and the workers you want us to be, Lord, and all the things you've done for us and all the things you prepared us for and all the things you promised, Lord, are all listed right here. And with this final piece of the armor, Lord, we're going to learn how it all fits together, that we can not just protect ourselves, Lord, but also to use it to spread your word and to teach others about you and about how to be saved and about how to live for you. Would you love you, Lord? I pray that even this evening your Holy Spirit might illuminate the scriptures for us, might convict hearts of sin. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Did you notice the ands in there? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. That means in addition to. That means it all fits together. It takes the complete set of armor to accomplish God's will in your life. So tonight, the sword of the Spirit, the weapon that God has chosen for us. You ever wonder why he didn't choose a bow or maybe a spear or maybe a sling? David killed Goliath with a sling and a rock. Matter of fact, some of the, I don't know how you call it, slingsters, sling throwers, I don't know what you call them back then, they were some of the most feared soldiers of the time. But the slings and the bows and the spears, those are all designed to be used against the enemy at a distance before they're able to get close enough to hurt you. The sword is the weapon that God's pictured for us here. It's not shot. It's not thrown. It's used in close quarter, face-to-face combat. You're face-to-face with the enemy. He's right here, however long that is, that far away from you. Because of the nature of face-to-face combat, it's important for the soldier to be intimately familiar with his weapon. No soldier wants to go to battle without knowing how to use his weapon. If he does, he's liable to not return from battle, or if he does return, he's liable to return seriously injured. I know even in hunting, I've been hunting before, hunting things that stood a good chance of hurting me if I wasn't proficient in my shooting ability, so I would never go hunting with a weapon I'd not tested and tried. So we have our armor, we have our shield, but there's no other soldiers to hide behind. It's just us, our armor, and our sword, facing an enemy that's determined to destroy us. We face the world, we face the flesh, we face the wiles of the devil. And our text tells us that our sword, the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God. So this is our sword. So I know you've all read 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not just read it, not just look at it, not just, I know back in the 60s, 70s, biofeedback was a thing, and they said you could learn to break habits by putting a little speaker in your pillow, and it said, don't do that in your ear all night while you slept. My grandmother tried that to quit smoking. Didn't work. All she got was an imprint that looked like a speaker on her head. But you can't put your Bible in your pillowcase at night and hope osmosis soaks it into your head. We read it. We study it. Why? To help make us more proficient in the use of our sword. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Because, since it's the Word of God, the Bible tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for what? Doctrine. What is doctrine? Teaching. Or reproof. That's conviction of sin. For correction. We know what that is. When we do wrong, we're corrected. Instruction in righteousness. Righteousness is right living, so it teaches us how to live right. That the man of God may be perfect. It's not talking about perfect sinless. It's talking about spiritually mature. Throughly furnish unto all good works. And I may have mentioned this before. It doesn't say thoroughly. It says throughly. It's not the same word. If it was, they wouldn't both be in the Bible. Thoroughly means you're prepared for battle once. Throughly means you're continuously prepared for battle as you study God's Word. So this is what keeps our sword sharp. This is what keeps our weapon ready to do battle. It's also important that we have the correct sword. There's more than one sword out there. If you're going into battle, you don't want a Nerf sword. You don't want a plastic sword. Thought I'd forgotten it. You want a sword forged in heaven, suited for the battle that's at hand. Psalms 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." So, our sword originated in heaven, given to us by the Holy Spirit. It says it's the sword of the Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So the Holy Spirit told the guys that held the pen what to write. They just wrote it down. So we have a sword forged in heaven, given to us by the Holy Spirit, preserved for us in the English language in the King James Bible. Notice I didn't say King James Version, because that gives credence to other versions. Matthew 24:36 says, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away." So it's preserved for us in the English language right here. I looked this up today. I didn't want to have to guess. It's estimated that less than 40% of the people professing to be Christians still use the King James Bible. There's a lot of churches out there, a lot of people out there claiming to be Christian. This is what they're using to fight the devil. I read this just the other day. Some of the other versions, they said it takes 30% of the text to be changed to get a new copyright. I thought, well, that sounds kind of crazy. So I looked it up. But if you take a book, change every sixth word, but the basic meaning hadn't changed, you're not going to get a copyright. Not only does 30% of the words have to be changed, 30% of the meaning has to be changed. So whoever out there isn't using the King James Bible, this is what they're fighting with. Not the sword that the Holy Spirit's given us. All right, we have our sword. We have our correct sword. We have God's sword. Who are we going to use it against? And how do we use it? You ever heard the saying, sometimes we're our own worst enemies? That's who we start using a sword on. Second Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Before we can take our sword and go to battle against the world, we have things, we have strongholds within our own lives that need to be cut out. Because Satan attacks us from the outside, wanting to work his way in. The Lord wants to work on the inside and work our way out. We have to be prepared for battle. Not just the sword, not just the right sword. Us. And God's word tells us there's three strongholds that need to be cut out. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And God's given us a weapon, this sword, to use against these things. Titus 2:12 says, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Teaching us. How's it teaching us? Holy Spirit, it's written in here. Holy Spirit gave it to us. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, tells us how. Back to our verse. Study to show thyself approved. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So we have it. What do we do with it? We don't put it in our pillowcase. We talked about that. Read it, of course. But don't just read it. It says study. How do we study? One of the things I like to do before I read every day, I like to pray before I read. One of the, in Bible college, they call them attributes of the Holy Spirit. One of them is illumination. Like, if you open your Bible and put no lights on in the house, you can't read it. You need light, you need illumination. So if I'm going to read War and Peace, I'm not going to understand it. I'm going to talk to the author. What's it saying? If I want to understand the Bible, I need the Holy Spirit, the author, to illuminate it, to tell me what it's talking about. So we pray, we read, we have concordances, we have Bible dictionaries. That's one of the things we do in Hope. Every table's got study guides on every table. So that not just reading it, not just checking it off a list, but reading it, understanding it, and obeying it. So once we do that, as we read, as we study, as we learn what it says, as we started taking care of these strongholds that are within us. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. What is lust, by the way? People normally think of something sensual. Lust is any unfulfilled desire. Right now, a cup of coffee sounds pretty good. That would be a lust. I can't have it, but that's what, you want something, you can't have it. That's an unfulfilled desire. Once we take care of these things that are within us, then we can use our sword against the enemy around us, the world and the wiles of the devil. When is it correct to use our sword? Or let me rephrase that. Is there ever a time it's not correct to use our sword? You know, we think of the Roman warrior battling his enemy, fighting for his life. One of the times that a sword is used is for protection of life, or to protect, for to gain life. Probably the first time, a lot of you, well, it was for me, that you witnessed anyone actually using the sword of the Spirit, using God's word, was when they led you to the Lord. Because without the word of God, without the sword of the Spirit, I mean, how could you get saved? I was saved at Silver State Youth Camp, Chuck Wagon Night. It's always on Thursdays, 1976. I know that seems like, well, it was a long time ago. But anyway, my college career director, one of the old tree stumps that was there, we knelt down. He took his trusty King James Bible, turned to the Roman road, showed me that I was a sinner, what I needed to do about it, and just picture it. I'm on my knees praying, confessing my sins, asking Jesus to forgive me, save me. And while I'm doing that, my youth director's praying, standing over me with his sword, protecting me from the devil and his demons who didn't want me to be saved. What would have happened if he had been protecting me with that? And we can use it the same way. We can use it to show other people how to be saved and why they need to be saved. Not just ask Jesus in their heart so they can go to heaven, but use God's word, show them why they need to be saved, that they're sinners and need a forgiveness, salvation. There's only one way to get it. That's all explained in God's word, our sword of the Spirit. Once we're saved, we can use the sword when we have need for repentance. Now, a lot of people think, well, I'm saved. What do I need to repent for? I'm saved. Repentance doesn't become unnecessary once you're saved. Matter of fact, repentance should be a way of life once we're saved. As Christians, we should always be ready to repent. That means to put away some sin and replace it with something godly. How do we know what it is? It shows us in God's word. Any wrongdoing, the Holy Spirit reveals to us. How are they revealed? Reading, studying God's word. After repentance, then what? We grow. We hope we grow. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. What word? This word. That what? That ye may grow thereby. so we don't just read it, like I said, to mark it off a list. And yes, we read it to obey it. But while we're doing that, we're growing spiritually. We're growing closer to the Lord. The new believer that just got saved would immerse himself in God's Word to help him grow as a Christian. Someone that's been saved for a while would what? Let me back up for a minute. Once you've read it all once, are you done? No. Because everybody's at a different place in their spiritual growth. And as we read, as we pray, as we ask for illumination, as we ask for guidance, the next time you read it, or the next time, or the next time, or the next time, the Holy Spirit might reveal something that you weren't spiritually mature enough to grasp the first time. So we continue reading, we continue studying, we continue preparing for the day-to-day battles in the world. Sometimes we need a sword where there's need for comfort. You may not know it, but sometimes you have days that just stink. Not every day can be all fun. Maybe in Richie's life they're all fun, but most people have days that are... Where do you go when you have a day where everything goes wrong? Or a day when something happens to bring sorrow into your life? Guess what? We have our sword. Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Keep our hearts. The Bible says, "As man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Keep our minds. One of the things we talk about in hope is thoughts become words, words become actions. So one of the best ways to change the outcome of your day is comfort your heart and control what you're thinking. We can't even understand how it works. It says, it was past its all understanding. I don't know how it works, but it does, because God said it would. Matter of fact, you're going to read verse 8 and 9 of Philippians 4. It even tells us what to think and how to do it. How do we know that? Because I read it. It says it. What about those days where nothing makes sense? Could you use a little extra wisdom? The definition of wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. Where do we get our knowledge? You can spend a lifetime learning from your own experiences, or you can read what God said and learn it a whole lot faster. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. How does it dwell in you? You read it. You memorize it. I know it's hard memorizing verses. The Bible says, hide the word in our heart. How do we hide it? We memorize it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You ever just have a day that just doesn't make sense and a song comes to your heart? Probably not, but it should. The sword of the Spirit says that's how you do it. And James says, ask for wisdom. And you could find, once you realized, when I was first saved, it said the sword of the Spirit. I was thinking of the Spirit with a sword. Once we understand that it's God's Word, there are so, too many applications to list. Sometimes we need cleansing. Sometimes we need healing. Sometimes we need direction. Sometimes we need strength. And every day when we get up, it's another day. It's another battle. But the sword hasn't changed. The instructions haven't changed. So every day as we get up, every day as we face the enemy, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We can't be filled with the Spirit until we're filled with the Word of God. I know I asked at the beginning, is there ever a time when you shouldn't use the sword of the Spirit? There's never a time when the sword of the Spirit is not to be used to accomplish God's will in your life. Will stand, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed.